morning. How's everyone today? Hi, Micah. I'm good. Good. Let me get to my place here. If you don't know me, my name is Carrie, and whew, that's a lot of notes I just went through. All right, buckle up. All right. Today is week two of the structure part of our building project series. Now, if you haven't been with us throughout the entire summer, this has been an entire long, like summer long series that we've been working through the different steps it takes in building the kingdom of God on earth. So just practical ways that we can do it. So we started with a plan. What are we working to build? So we talked about what the kingdom was, and we talked about what Project Church's role is in that and what we hope to do for the as Project Church and Project Community for the kingdom. Then we had a demo day, because sometimes, you know, you have to clear some stuff away before you have room to build something new. And it's kind of an uncomfortable, messy process usually, but it's so necessary and it's so good. Then we moved on to the blueprint, which is the Bible. The blueprint for the kingdom of God is the Bible. So we looked at some different themes that we could trace throughout the entire biblical story to see how they help to build the kingdom. Then we moved on to our foundation, and our foundation is built on the action steps of baptism, communion, worship, and prayer. And now we are in the structure part, and I promise we're almost done with this series. You guys are just like, yeah. But we wanted to do this because it's so important to understand these foundational principles of the kingdom, of our faith, of knowing what we're doing. What is our purpose? We can go to church on a Sunday, or we can live in the kingdom. And we can actively pursue God and the kingdom 7 days a week. So we felt it was important to go over these things that we can apply to our everyday lives. So if you've missed any of those messages, you've got a lot of listening to. But they're all available on our website if you would like to go back and listen to any of those messages. So last week, Matt got us started in the structure part of our building project. And he talked to us about, what did he talk to us about? No, he talked to us about knowledge. And I forgot about knowledge. Can you believe that? He talked to us about knowledge and about learning about the kingdom, learning about God and what that looks like. But he introduced us to the three-legged stool, the concept of the three-legged stool. So life in the kingdom is a result of the growing of three areas, of your knowledge, of your experience, and your relationships. And as you grow in these three areas, then you can have a balanced kingdom life. But what happens if you focus on one leg of the stool? It's not going to balance. It doesn't matter how firm, how steady, how solid the foundation is. If you have an unbalanced leg, then you're not going to be able, like the stool is not going to be able to serve its purpose. So our three legs of the kingdom, we've got knowledge, experience, and relationship. And you can kind of break that down and you can kind of see there's kind of a Trinitarian thing happening here. I kind of snuck in the words God and Jesus and the Spirit in here, because it kind of shows how we're able to engage with each member of the Trinity. And as we do that, then that grows our spiritual maturity. So today we're going to move on and talk about experience. And I hope it's a good experience for you all. So what is the definition of experience? It's the practical contact with and observation of facts or events. Or it's to encounter or undergo an event or an occurrence. So we all know what experience means, like what it means to experience something. Some experiences are good, some are bad, some are memorable, some are forgettable, some are irrelevant, some are formative. Some we're even willing to like pay money for to get. So like, for example, you know, it's almost Razorback football season. Is anyone excited? Yes. Okay, you guys are awake now, okay. Well, let's talk football. So you can watch a game on your couch. You can eat snacks from your fridge. you can wear your fat pants and you can watch the game. Or you can buy tickets, drive to Fayetteville, park 3 miles away from the stadium, sit on a metal bench that's either freezing cold or burning hot, surrounded by a bunch of loud, probably smelly people. But you're willing to do that because you're not going to just watch the game. If you just wanted to watch the game, you can do that on your couch. But you're willing to go through all of that for the experience. It's the same game, but the experience is different. But today we're going to focus on what it means to have experiences with God. And it's kind of a tricky concept to wrap your mind around, because when we think of experience, we think about going somewhere or interacting with someone or something. But an experience with God is different. See, he's not a place. He's not a physical being that we can see or touch. But that doesn't mean that we can't have an experience with him. And there's lots of examples throughout the entire Old Testament of people having experiences with God, like Moses and the burning bush, or Isaiah's visions, Daniel's dreams. And there's plenty of evidence that God interacted with humans through visions, dreams, prophets, signs, wonders. But these were select moments with some people that God selected for various reasons. And, you know, as we're reading about these instances, like when Moses went to Mount Sinai and the entire mountain was shaking, and there's fire and clouds and wind and booming voices, it's very intimidating, right? Like, it seems like kind of a scary experience, but that kind of makes sense because this is the creator of the universe trying to connect with a human being. It's uneven. It's going to be intimidating. But see, in an attempt to be more accessible to humanity, God became like us in the form of Jesus. And when Jesus was on earth, people were able to experience the presence of God through him. His family, his friends, his disciples. Can you imagine, like, just sitting down at the table and just eating dinner with Jesus? Like, just chit-chatting about your day. And, like, can you imagine experiencing the presence of God in that way? But see, there's still a problem here, because Jesus, as a human, he was limited. He was limited to being at one place at one time. And he could not remain on earth forever in this physical form. However, he set the standard of how we could live, and he gave us the example of what it looked like to live as the image of God on earth. And we get to experience the life of Jesus and the story of what he did through the gospel books that were written by the people that experienced him firsthand. So we kind of get a secondary experience of Jesus through reading the gospels. But see, Jesus' purpose, it went far beyond allowing a few people to encounter him personally on earth. And then just everyone else gets to just read about it. No. See, Jesus came to establish a new covenant for all of humanity that would make it possible for every person throughout all time to have a personal encounter and relationship with him. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Micah. You get a brownie. I don't have any brownies. Star. Okay, we'll work on that. Gold star. So we talked about the coming of the Spirit in the blueprint part of this series back in, I think, June. So if you missed that and you want to know more information about, like, what it looked like when the Spirit came, then you can go back and listen to that message for more details. But for today, I want you to know that when Jesus ascended into heaven, the Spirit was sent to earth as a way for all believers to experience a relationship with God. See, now everyone has access to him all the time. So let's think about this. A couple weeks ago, Micah talked to us about prayer. And she looked at the Lord's Prayer as an example. See, Jesus shared this prayer with his disciples. Why? Because they asked him. Because they said, how should we pray? Let's think about that for a second. Who were these men? These were Jewish men. What does it mean to be a Jewish man during this time period? It means that you grew up going to the tabernacle, going to the synagogue, and learning from your rabbi about God, reading the scrolls. These men knew about God. They had been taught knowledge about God their entire lives. But they didn't know how to talk to him. So Jesus shared this prayer with his disciples to give them experience. See, they had the knowledge, but they lacked the experience. See, before Jesus, people had to follow the legalistic practices of ritual sacrifice, and they had to go through a priest in order to be able to connect with God. But Jesus changed the process. He changed it. And we kind of take that for granted because we are able to talk to God anytime. We're able to experience his presence anytime. And we forget what a privilege that is because we have never known the lack of it. So now that we understand that it's a gift and a privilege to experience God personally, let's break it down just a little bit more. So I have a graphic here to kind of show you. So there's a difference between having an experience and having experience. So what's the difference here? So having an experience with God is when you have an encounter that changes your perspective. But having experience shows a pattern of past encounters that have built an understanding and trust in God. All right, so let's look at the first one. What does it mean to have an experience with God? There's this really cool word, apocalypse. Do you guys like that word? It's kind of a scary sounding word because of the way that we use it. I love the word. I think it's cool. Like, I love zombie apocalypse shows and stuff like that. We use it to describe like an end of the world event, like something so catastrophic happens that life as we know it is no longer able to exist. A lot of people say that COVID is apocalyptic, that it's changed the way of life. A zombie apocalypse would definitely change the way of life. The way that the word apocalypse is used in the Bible is different. See, the way it's used is it's used to describe a revealing or an uncovering of something, like a prophetic vision or dream. So, fun fact for you. Did you know that the book of Revelation in Spanish translations is called Apocalipsis? Apocalipsis? Apocalipsis. She's judging me. But isn't that cool? Like, they just, like, don't cut to the chase on, like, we're going to call it, like, it's a revelation. It's a pretty word. They're like, no, it's like, things are different. Like, things are different now. Can you think of an experience that was so impactful in your life that it changed the way that you see the world or what you even believe about it? Now, it doesn't have to be something big. Small moments can have big impacts, too. But there's things that happen in our lives, like becoming a parent. It's pretty apocalyptic. Getting married, a car accident, a bad diagnosis, or maybe even like a really super informative, fun message on a Sunday morning. So when I was writing this, I was thinking, like, what was my moment? Like, when I think back over my life, what was the moment that I first remember having an encounter with God or experiencing God in some way that kind of changed my perspective? And see, that's kind of hard for me because I don't have like a big conversion story. Like some people have big conversion stories where their entire life changed. But I was raised in a Christian home. And I mean, we were at church like six times a week. Like, we lived at the church. And I grew up in an evangelical church that had like regular altar calls. Pretty much every service ended with an altar call. And it was normal to go up with my friends. Like, it was kind of expected. And it was kind of more out of like ritual expectation than actual spiritual connection. You know what I mean? If you were raised in church, you know what I mean. But see, there was this night, Sunday night, and I was probably around 10, and something changed. So I went up to the altar, and we all had like our spots. You know, you have your assigned spot, and because that's where you like drool if you fall asleep, and like it's, you know, it's your own little personalized spot. So I was down at the altar and had my head down like this, and I was doing the normal like peeking under my arms, making sure that my friend's legs were still there, and because you don't want to be the last one, because then the pastor comes up and starts praying for you, and then your life's going to change one way or the other. So I was kind of like peeking around, like making sure that I was there for the right amount of time. So, and then I heard something. See, I was kneeling down by my sister. And I heard her crying, which wasn't, it wasn't abnormal. Still isn't. But it was not normal for this to happen in public. Why was she crying? I was like, whatever. And I was like sitting there, I was like, but why? Like, did I accidentally kick her? Like, something happened in here? And then it hit me. She was experiencing a moment with God. And I was like, huh. Well, maybe there's actually something to all of this stuff I've been learning about my whole life. See, I had knowledge of God. I've been in Sunday school and children's church, and I'd seen all the puppet plays and flannel graphs. I had the knowledge. Flannel graphs, we need flannel graphs. See, I had the knowledge, but I lacked the experience. And because I lacked the experience, I didn't have the relationship. But you know what? I was sitting there and I remember thinking, if she, my messed up big sister, older sister, clarify, if she can experience God in a tangible way, then maybe I could too. You know, the earth did not shake. I didn't hear a booming voice. God didn't speak to me in that moment in an audible voice. There were no donkeys talking or anything like that. But that was an apocalyptic moment in my life. It was like the truth behind all the stories I had heard was uncovered. And I began to look at the Bible and God and church in a different way. Everything had a different context because something had been uncovered. You know, it isn't that I did not believe in God before that moment, but it was at that moment that I began to feel God was relevant in my life. A new meaning was uncovered. So we're going to look at a biblical example of an apocalyptic moment and the change that can come from experiencing God this way. So open, flip open your phones or whatever you've got to the book of Acts. We're going to start with chapter 9. So in chapter 7, we're introduced to a man named Paul or Saul. He goes by both names in it, and it's kind of it can be kind of confusing, so I don't know if I'm going to say Saul or Paul in different parts, so just track with me. So we're introduced to a man named Paul. Paul was a Pharisee, and we talked about him a little bit more back in June, so you can go back and listen to the demo day message for more information about like Paul's conversion and stuff. But basically, I just kind of want to hit this overview again with Paul. What it means to be a Pharisee is that he was a very religious man, a Jewish man that was full of knowledge. He was full of knowledge about God, the same God that sent Jesus. But see, he was like, this Jesus guy, he's coming to destroy Judaism. And it's my responsibility as a Jewish man, as a believer and follower of God, to take care of this problem. So after Pentecost, there was enormous increase of the numbers of people that believed in Jesus, and they were called followers of the way. So men like Paul, devout Jews, they saw this as a threat to Judaism, and they believed that they were following the will of God by persecuting anyone that followed the teachings of Jesus. See, they had knowledge, but they didn't have experience or relationship with God. Their stool was incredibly uneven. So let's flip to Acts 9. Verse 1, it says, "Meanwhile, while Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, he went to the high priest, and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that when he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do next.' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything." That's an experience you can't ignore. This powerful man that was breathing out murderous threats with written permission to arrest the men and women who believe in Jesus is instantaneously knocked to the ground and blinded by a powerful light that was visible only to him. You know, Mount Sinai, everybody felt the mountain move. But now, one person, there's a personalized experience happening here. He had to be led by the hand, completely helpless. He was walking as a powerful man with permission to arrest people, and now he's being led by the hand, blind, into the town that he was planning to enter with power and authority. You know, it doesn't say, but he didn't eat and drink for 3 days. It doesn't say if he didn't do that out of shock, illness, or maybe the guys that he was with, like maybe just abandoned him out of fear, out of disregard, because he wasn't powerful anymore. So let's read on. Verse 10, "In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, 'Ananias, yes, Lord,' he answered." I'm sure it wasn't that casual. "The Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and over and place his hands on him to restore his sight.' 'Lord,' Ananias answered, 'I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name.'" He's like, I know what papers he's got in his pocket, guys. Like, if I go there, am I walking into a trap? "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" First of all, I want to point out a difference here. When there was a voice from heaven to Saul, how did he answer? "Who are you, Lord?" He recognized that it was the Lord, but he didn't know who he was. When the Lord called out to Ananias, he said, "Yes, Lord." He recognized the voice because he had experience and relationship with God. You know, this experience, it changed everything for Paul. And it marks the beginning of his journey from just having knowledge of God to actually getting to know God. But see, personal experience is not always accepted by others. What about the men traveling with him? If you look in, if you read Acts 9, you're going to find out that the Jews tried to kill him and that the disciples were afraid of him. Nobody trusted his experience. Paul was different. He was acting differently, and they knew this. They could see that, but they didn't understand why. See, he had to go through the process and the work of building a solid foundation of experience before he would be recognized by others as having experience. See, Matt pointed out last week the difference between having knowledge about God and knowing God. And so there's also a difference between having an experience with God and having experience with God. So think about it this way. Future employers, they don't want to just know about your education. They want to know about your experience. It's called working knowledge. You know, if I'm facing a medical procedure, I'm not going to sit there and ask the surgeon, how many books have you read about this procedure? I want to know how many times he's done it successfully. I want to know his experience, not his knowledge. So how did Paul gain experience with God? See, he actively sought out opportunities to encounter God. When in his letter to the churches in Galatia, he wrote in response to the agitators that were questioning his authority as a leader in the church. So basically, they're questioning his resume. Like, can we really believe what you got to say? So this is his response to him. And we don't have time to read it all. I want you guys to do that on your own time because it's fantastic. The entire book of Galatians is just fantastic. But see, he begins by addressing his past of persecuting the followers of Jesus. He's like, I know who I was. I know what I did. I'm not defending it. I'm not justifying it. But it was. And then he shares how God revealed the truth to him through a revelation, an apocalyptic experience. And then he tells them how he went to Arabia for 3 years seeking God through prayer, worship, and studying the scriptures. See, he knew the scriptures, but now there's a truth to them that has been uncovered. And so he's got to study them again in light of his new experience. When he returned, he was accepted by the disciples. Isn't it cool that he went away for 3 years to experience God one-on-one? That's the same amount of time that the disciples spent with Jesus, just throwing that out there. And when he returned, their teachings aligned. He didn't learn from the disciples. He learned from God, the same teacher that they had, and so their teachings aligned. You know, there's lots of examples throughout the rest of the New Testament of how Paul's experience was respected and honored by the other apostles and disciples. One of my favorites is in Acts 15. It's the Council of Jerusalem. Now, this was a time when the early leaders of the church, they got together to kind of decide on, like, policies, I guess, because the law had been fulfilled, and so they're trying to decipher and understand together, what do we keep and what do we get rid of? Like, what do we do now? And Paul was there, and he advocated for the breaking down of Jewish traditions. And he was listened to. See, if Paul had not spoken from his knowledge, experience, and relationship at this council, the church as we know it today would look a lot different. For example, it's because of the way that Paul encouraged and placed women into church leadership that I'm able to stand in front of you guys today with authority as a pastor of a gospel. See, Paul was respected in circles outside of the church too. That was inside the church, and they listened to him, and they made some serious changes. But outside the church, he was also respected. In Acts 17, you read about his time of visiting Athens in Greece. And he was speaking to these Greek philosophers. Now, these are very knowledgeable men that like to just sit around and talk about things. It's pretty much what philosophy is, I think. But he was able to speak to them with confidence and wisdom. Because of his knowledge and experience, he was well suited to have conversations in philosophical circles in a way that was accessible and relatable to them. See, we have a lot that we can learn from the experiences of Paul and from other individuals throughout the Bible. But see, unless we are open to having our own encounters with God, we will never grow to the point of having a working knowledge of him. So how do we build our spiritual resumes? The same way that Paul did. We have to intentionally seek out encounters with God. How do we do that? Through reading the scriptures. It's how we build our knowledge. Through spending time in prayer. That's how we build our relationship with him. And from surrendering our time and our heart to him in worship. And that is how we experience him in a tangible way, individually and corporately. It is not enough to come add just a little bit of knowledge to your life on a Sunday morning. So you have to balance that knowledge with experience in order to grow in your relationship with God. You have to actively pursue God throughout your entire life. As you do, he will meet your knowledge with apocalyptic experience. We're going to do one more song. And while we do this song, I want you guys to think how incredible it is that we have the opportunity to experience God. It's not a time of just listening to someone sing or just singing along or thinking about your shopping list. This is an opportunity to experience the creator of the universe in a tangible way, on a personal level. You know, we give so much of our time in pursuit of various activities, in pursuit of experiences, like vacations. We work hard so we can go on a vacation to have an experience. I have to work 5 years to be able to go to Disneyland for 2 days. We give so much of our attention to experiences through playing sports or different activities or going to the gym or entertainment, concerts, fun things. We are so willing to give up time for experiences that we find beneficial to our lives. And it's not that any of these things are bad, but it can make us unbalanced in our spiritual life. What could happen in our lives if we used a portion of that effort in seeking out life-changing, apocalyptic experiences with God? Think of the effort that God has gone through to make himself accessible to you. There are thousands of years recorded that we have access to that tells us about how missional our God is. And what's his mission? Relationship with you. He's been working on that one for a long time. We have to give God the space and the time to speak to us. You know, and if we don't give him that time, if we go our own way, if we follow our own plans, you got to look out. Because God will get your attention in some way. Whether it's a blinding light or a booming voice, maybe your dog talking to you, that'd be weird. He's done it before and he can do it again. And he loves you enough to make that effort. So during this song, take this time and just focus on Him and see what He can reveal to you today.